head and look the other way. For when your heart is aching, my heart is aching too. Let me help you bear your burden. That's the least that I can do. I'll be standing in the gap for you. Just remember someone somewhere is praying for you, calling out your name, praying for your strength. I'll be standing in the gap for you.
That's right, that's right. We are standing in the gap for you. And it is that time right now. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, as well as Discipleship for Discipleship Counseling Services. Tonight, we are focusing, as we are for this entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we are focusing on when church hurts, when the people of God get hurt by the people of God. How can we heal and get beyond it and stop doing it, you know? Amen. So we want to open up with prayer right now. Please pray with us, okay? God, we thank you right now for who you are, how you are, and we just ask that you bless us according to your perfect will. Whatever you have planned, dear God, we just ask that it go forth right now in the name of Jesus. For this is your ministry. This is your broadcast. We are just vessels waiting to hear from you. And in Jesus' name, dear Lord, we give you all the glory for keeping us safe where we are. We ask that you continue to keep us safe, and we give you the glory for blessing us where we are. We ask that you consecrate us afresh so that we can truly be dismissed of any distractions that may keep us from hearing your voice that comes through another person, and your voice that comes through a song, your voice that comes through the reading of your scripture, and your voice that comes to us directly. Have your way, God, in this place, wherever that place is where we are. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen, amen, and amen again. Again, tonight's focus is when church hurts. And tonight's focus coming from last night is healing beyond that hurt. For truly, we know that we serve a God who is our ultimate shepherd. And we are so grateful to God for monsignors and pastors and bishops and elders and deacons. We are so grateful to God for priests and nuns and rabbis. We're so grateful to God for all of these leaderships, these leaders that come to us. And the truth be told, some of us do fall short in the areas of leadership in helping, or not helping, but causing challenges to God's people, to one another, as we are challenged ourselves in our own humanness. So we have to always continuously look to God, who is our ultimate shepherd, to Jesus, who is our ultimate good shepherd, and the one who can help the under shepherds, the other helpers, and the sheep, help each other so that we can truly be more about the kingdom of God. Amen. So right now I want to read for you our focus scripture, just the pericope from Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. The New King James Version says it this way: the Lord is my shepherd. That's it. That's all we've been focusing on. You know the rest. You've heard it at funerals and homegoings. You heard it at commemorations and memorial services. We've heard it as the focus scripture sometimes at weddings as well. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. How long? Forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And some of us as sheep, no matter if we are sheep who are called to be leaders of sheep for the sake of the Lord as well, no matter if we are sheep who are parts of choirs, if we are sheep that are a part of the administrative or pastoral staff, no matter what type of sheep we are, we all go through a phase where we feel that we are lost or that we go astray, or that we feel we want to leave because we are so hurt and or frustrated with the current circumstances where we are. So what type of hurts are we talking about? People don't hurt people in the church. Sure, they do. But again, the majority of us who are part of this body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia, we are the ones that God gifts and bless and gives us talents to always focus more on the people of God and the process of salvation and the point and purpose of God to uplift God, to be a part of the growing of the kingdom of God, as well as to be a part of the growing of the kingdom of God yet to come, meaning the people right now. And so for that, we are also grateful to God. Amen. But we do find ourselves going astray sometimes. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about denominations, but we are talking about the demonstrations of Christ. When we talk about church, we're not talking about a building, but we're talking about the building up of the people who are part of that church, who are the church of God. When we talk about church, we're not talking about religion or religiosity, but we are talking about relationship and a good relationship to Jesus Christ. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about local membership, which is an earthly thing according to our own ways and our own intentions, good intentions mostly, but still they get twisted at times. So we're not talking about membership of this church or that church, meaning that place, but we're talking about discipleship with Jesus Christ and being a part of the kingdom of God. When we talk about church, we're not talking about just our guidelines and our exclusiveness. We are talking about the inclusiveness that God gives us in letting us know we are to be a part of the one body of Christ. That is not about politics or politics that we have. It's not about religion or routine or rhetoric, but it is about Jesus Christ and getting to know Jesus better and better each and every day. So what we want to do right now is just to open up with a song of worship. You'll join me with that, right? And then after this one song, we'll come back to share with you our opening intro as far as this word. When church hurts, because it does, this is how to heal and to be healed. Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap. Know that there are a few ways that you can get to us, to connect with us. You can primarily go to the website, praise1079.com. Praise1079.com. And there, if you go to the Stand in the Gap information, you'll also see all the other ways you can connect with us live stream from that website. You can also, at that information with Stand in the Gap, you can also see the email, sitgpastor@gmail.com. You'll also see the Facebook logo that connects you right to the Facebook page. And there you can also go to the Rev Monica Hooks page as well. It's all the same. They're connected the same way. You can also use the Messenger link, and that will give you the ability to send us a text with your prayer request or your praise report. And anyway, it's fine because we do have people outside of the United States who connect with us also, and it is more economical and more stable for them to do it by email and by texting as well and social media. But primarily the way that we have for those who are in the States is to call us. I would love to hear your voice, to sense and see what you are going through and going to, that we can connect and pray together. The number is 904-296-2251. You should go ahead and put that in your phone or jot it down somewhere. Put it on speed dial. 904-296-2251. That way you can give us a call. I do answer the phone off air, so you have the choice whether you want to share what you have to share on or off air. And then we'll go from there, okay? 904-296-2251. Let's listen to beautiful song that reminds us of just how awesome God is, how great God is, how great thou art, the one who created us and all the universe, that how great thou art, O Lord my God, when in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my song, your song, then sings our song, our souls, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, because truly God is great. Amen. Stay with us right here. You are listening to Standing in the Gap on Praise 107.9. That is one and only Deborah Barnes, How Great Thou Art, with her singing anointed self. She knows she can do ministry in whatever songs, new type of songs, Christian, contemporary songs, you name it. And she's a really great songwriter, too, from the Barnes family. You've heard of them, right? This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries here tonight as one of the people who stands in the gap with you and for you. Your prayer requests and praise reports can be sent right here or shared right here by calling 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. Now, last night we talked about this first line. This is the only line we're talking about this weekend as we meet every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's right, just for you. And last night we talked about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And for those who are ministers, I see those on Facebook as well who are listening, and those who are listening that call in that are pastors and ministers and preachers and laypersons as well, because we all have a responsibility of some sort when it comes to the word, right? I want you to see again just how great and how awesome truly God is, how great thou art, because we could seriously preach or teach or use this word to reach somebody else for the entire rest of our lives, just this one line, if we allow the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Last night, we used this pericope, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just this one line, starting with the Lord, meaning capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That is a personal relationship with the ultimate Jehovah, Jehovah's self. And that Jehovah, of course, is Jehovah Jireh, who is provider. So the Lord is the Lord. The first part is God is provider, L-O-R-D. The second part is the Lord is, period. The Lord is. And that shows that God is always perpetually present, because God is perpetual, always. The Lord is mine. That means we have to have a personal relationship with God, not just mama's God, not just dad's God, big mama, big papa, but we have got to have our own relationships, because truly their relationships with God can be a blessing to us to a certain extent when they pray on our behalf. Some of us know that we are here right now because of the prayers of those who came before us, but we also have to be able to pray for ourselves, to stand in the gap for ourselves as well as each other. So the Lord provider, the Lord is always perpetual, the Lord is my personal relationship, the Lord is my shepherd. That speaks about the capital S shepherd, meaning Jesus Christ, Jesus self. I know a lot of times we say that our pastors and our leaders, but we are really under shepherds. The ultimate shepherd is God, God's self. But this shepherd that we're talking about tonight is absolutely Jesus, God, Savior, Lord, Master, Agent, everything that we need all in one. S shepherd is protective, is our protector, as well as positioner, who puts us where he wants us, whenever and however he wants us. We just have to stay in tune to it. So the Lord provider is perpetual, my personal shepherd protector. I shall not want. Whatever predicaments I go through or situations I go to or through, God is always with me. Why is that important? Because we are in times like all other times. I hear us always saying, I felt it too, especially when we're watching the news, especially then. And even riding here, driver said that, you know, these times that we're in, every generation has said that. We need to stay prayed up. Things are so crazy. Every generation has said that because every generation has been true. That as much as we see so many violent acts and murders and rape and robberies and all these things that are happening, they have always been happening since the beginning of time, since we had that great fall back in the Garden of Eden. And so we know that we have a God who is awesome. Even though the word is supposed to be used by us, those who believe in Christ, to make a difference in the world, a lot of times those of us who are Christians, not supposed to be Christians, but are Christians, because we are human also, we get influenced by the world. We know that we're not supposed to be transformed by the world, conformed to what the world does, but we're supposed to transform the world and conform the world to what Christ does and does through us. But again, sometimes we do lose our footing. We literally trip over power that we are given in the church, in the body of Christ. We literally trip over the power that God gives us sometimes and not realizing at times. And some of us do realize it. But what's most important right now, and one of our first prayers tonight, is for those many, because there are always more who are doing what God has called them to do than not. And so for those who are doing this word, this gospel, this ministry for God, no matter where you are, you don't have to do full-time ministry at a church building to be considered a person who works for God. Whether you are an engineer, an educator, whether you are a teacher, whether you are janitorial services or administrative assistant, whatever you are doing as a coach, or if you work at a church, wherever it is, we are all strategically placed to do good deeds and good works for God, our heavenly King, our heavenly Father. God is also our mother of all things, our everything. For God is a paternal and a maternal force within our lives that cannot be subdued by gender, when we genderize God and lose some of the intimacy at times. So God is everything, all that we need at all times. What we want to focus on tonight is, okay, I have been hurt by the church. I have been hurt by someone in the church. I have been hurt by feeling overlooked. I have been hurt by feeling used. I have been hurt when I gave such an amazing amount of my, my insurance money to the church, or my settlement. Thank you, Lord. My settlement, I've given an amazing amount to the church, but yet I can't get an appointment with the bishop for 3 to 6 months. I feel like if I'm tithing to this church, then I shouldn't be mistreated by the woman in the church office who's so mean and so cruel and so condescending. Or I feel like I'm supposed to be able to trust my pastor when I go into him or to her, but him and or her have come towards me in very inappropriate ways, them being married or me being married, and it's sexual advances, and I should be able to trust them because they're a representative of Jesus, but they have done some things that I'm uncomfortable with. And if I tell someone, I don't believe that they're going to believe me. How do we overcome all of this? How do we do it? We continue to focus on God, continue to focus on Christ, and we're going to give you some practical ways and how to deal with it as well. Know that the things that we share here are the lessons that we have learned, that you share, that I've learned throughout the years of preaching and pastoring, some of the behind the scenes things as well, but never in a way that discloses a particular person or a particular church by name. We don't want to disclose any of our shortcomings because we all have them, but we do want the lesson to be forthcoming so that we can stop doing some things that we shouldn't be doing, and doing some things that we should be even more. Amen. Stay with us right here on Stand in the Gap. We all have a blessed assurance that Jesus Christ really is ours, really is our good shepherd, and continues to keep his hands on his sheep. Know that everywhere in the word that God talks about sheep, his sheep, he's talking about the fact that we are his, that we don't belong to pastors. We don't belong to priests. We don't belong to rabbis. We belong to God. God has only called us to be a vessel, a conduit, to be an under shepherd, to help with the sheep, But God always claims and names his own sheep as his own. Stay with us right here. The number is 904-296-2251. I'm looking forward to hearing your prayer requests. I have some already. We'll share those as well. After this song, Blessed Assurance by James Ingram. That's right, James Ingram. I will continue with this lesson. And then towards the midnight hour, we also will have a hallelujah, which is the healing through laughter comedy clips. This is Standing in the Gap. I hope that you stay with us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
Hallelujah. That is, again, James Ingram, Blessed Assurance. That's from his Stand in the Light CD, and that was around 2014. You know, we like to tell you all of the different tools and the scriptures and the music that we use here to minister to you, just so in case anything does minister to you well, that you can go ahead and share that with yourself again or someone else. Again, this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight, as we are every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So grateful to God for the opportunity to take your praise reports as well as your prayer requests. The number is 904-296-2251. Now, as we get back to this word, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And we are reminded that we go through some things in church life because we are human. So that's why it doesn't necessarily make sense. I understand why people at times call us hypocrites, because we know the word of God, or we're learning the word of God. None of us have totally accomplished knowing the full word of God, because God is not comprehensible that way. And so we know that as we are learning the word of God, that we're also learning to walk in the word of God. And so others, especially those who are not Christian, will tend to look at us and say, well, you know the word of God, so you are to show the word of God. But you're not, you know, you do this on Sunday and shout and hoop, but you don't necessarily help. And then you're out and doing your own thing Monday through Saturday. And then you're out here in the world doing like we do. You're cheating on your taxes. You're cheating on your spouse. You're doing all this dirt. And then you take your behind right back up into the church. Well, you know, you know what? It's true. It's very, very true. Still, the most of us are not blatantly sinning in that way. It doesn't matter, though, because we still all fall short of God's glory daily. But how can we address the situations that we do have in the church where things don't work the way that Jesus meant for them to? Well, first of all, we have to appeal to the truth. We have to look at the truth. Let me just say it that way. Let me say this first, because the Lord definitely is pushing this forward first. Church hurt, though I may have been hurt by someone in the church, by someone's in the church, and maybe the people who are on the chain of command have not done anything to help me as they should. We're going to come back to that too. Church hurt is never a reason to give up on church. It's never a reason to give up on church people. It's never a reason to give up on God. It's never a reason to give up on Jesus. It's never a reason to give up on the Holy Spirit that lives within those who accept God and Jesus as Savior. It's never a reason, hear this, it's never a reason to give up on your responsibility and my responsibility to be a part of the assembly of God, the assembly of worship, the assembly of praise, the house of God, known as the building where the church, the people of God, congregate. So don't use that as an excuse. And if you have been, stop it, because you already know better. So it is time for us to show better. Church hurt is never a reason to allow my relationship with God to be so challenged. Because of this, dear hearts, you know that if, let's look at it this way. If I'm going to a church and I'm working there and being a part of the membership and I'm doing all the things that we're supposed to do, and if I'm involved in ministry, I go to that rehearsal or that meeting and I'm participating, I'm tithing, which is very important. I'm praising and worshiping God, which is very important. And if the pastor or a leader or a bishop or whomever disappoints me in some way, directly or indirectly, and then I feel challenged, if they hurt me directly and I feel really distraught about it, if another member or another ministry member has hurt me directly and it's just totally rocked my world, and I stop going to church, stop believing in what the church overall was about, then in a way that means that my faith was more in that him or that her, that person, and not Christ. It means that my faith and my dedication was to them, the people, and not God. Instead of the people of God, the focus should be on God. Instead of the place where God, one of the places where God is, it has to be on the place within my heart where God is to reside. So I give power away, the power that God has given me to be a blessing to God, when I allow things that don't go perfectly in the church that I allow those things to become my reasons and those reasons to become my excuses as to why I don't want to go to worship anymore. So let's deal with that right now, okay? We have to see the truth and seek God. That's going to be the only point for tonight, but just in different ways. See the truth. If there's a situation between two people, if there's a conflict, then we have some options to do. The Word of God tells us we're supposed to reach that person, try to reach out to them as peaceably as possible, that we're supposed to go with a forgiving spirit. That means to seek forgiveness. If I really see that there's something that I did that was wrong or something that could even be perceived as being wrong, that I want to seek forgiveness and correct that. That I first of all want to understand the other person as opposed to being understood. You got that right? Some of us, when we have conflicts, we want to get our point across. That's why some people talk over each other. And I never understand how some people think that's actually communicating. When you're talking and thinking about what you want to say and the other person is doing that too, you don't hear each other. So one thing we can do is to seek to understand before trying to be understood and to really hear a person out. I've been in that situation in every which way you can think of. And it's not a good situation, but it can be done in ways that good comes out of it. So we can also, again, seek forgiveness and understanding, and we can also continue to focus on God. So we see the truth that this is something that happened. If this was inappropriate or this was wrong or this was just a blatant disregard of something that I was going through with whomever, and I was totally dismissed or I was let go. Or you haven't been fired. Anybody ever been fired from ministry and you're volunteering? That's something in there. I've seen it. Okay, I haven't experienced that one yet, but close. And so what do you do when your feelings are hurt, when you feel so offended? When we see the truth that either because of my own actions or someone else's actions that we have conflict, seek God as to how to deal with that truth. So I want to see the truth and what went wrong. And I want to take responsibility for which part was mine. And I want to give forgiveness if it was someone else's fault. And then I want to seek God also to allow God room to do what God needs to do. So first of all, I want to deal with truth. That's how we're going to see it. Some of us, again, as Christians, that's why I'm trying to focus more on saying I want to be more like Christ. I want to be Christ-like more than I want to be a Christian now. Please don't be offended if you are a Christian, because I am a Christian also. But the negative connotations, the negative actions, and some of the societal things that we do in this culture of Christianity now are so exact to what it was like when Jesus came before Christianity was created. When Jesus came back, remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees had all these rules about what it meant to be in the temple and a part of this temple. They had all these regulations and rites and that you had to do, and you had to pay money to do different things. And they had levels of being connected. They were so judgmental. They were so exclusive. They made it so people feel like it was so difficult to be in good standing with God if you were not in good standing with them. Hello, a lot of our churches now, well, enough of our churches now have that same type of mindset. So that's what I mean. That's what God has put on my heart, to focus more on trying to be like Christ as opposed to what is now considered Christian with the different memberships and different denominations and religions and ways to worship and the different garb and things that people expect you to wear and the collars and the robes and the ropes. And all of this is not necessarily wrong. And I think everything that was done for a good reason, to show how we reverence God. But somehow we still get lost in it, and where we end up reverencing people or expecting people to reverence us as if we are God. We get confused at times with the power that comes from God to us and the power that comes from people to us because they trust us as God representatives. We get confused at times that leads to vanity, and vanity leads to insanity in a spiritual way that causes us to literally trip over this power, that we power trip because we don't know how to handle it. I'm just saying, and as we simplify things and keep a focus on Christ, compare the cross I have to carry as a child of God to the cross that Christ, the only begotten child of God, carried, then it should keep us in a more humble place. If we keep comparing ourselves to one another, we can have less, if we stop that, we can have less ministers competing with each other on the first rows. We can have less people competing with each other for the pastor's eye. We can have less people competing for each other for titles and for acknowledgments, and just more in trying to be a trophy for God. You hear me, right? Look, let's continue to worship God through this word and through music. You can call as well, 904-296-2251. So when they just get on my nerves, Pastor Monica, what should I do? Can I lay hands on them? I'm going to answer that as soon as we come back. Stay with us right here. This is Praise 107.9.
Here I am to worship.
Hallelujah. That's Here I Am to Worship, Anthony Evans. That's off of his The Bridge CD. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight, as we are every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. just for you. Now, we got a few calls just then, and one brought up some things that we definitely... that goes with the first part we just said, that we have to deal with the truth. We have to see it and seek God and what to do with that truth. And one of our listeners called in and says they definitely want prayer for pastors who have a wandering eye. They're very familiar with one who has that. And that's, a real euphemized way of saying a pastor has a wandering eye. This pastor is a he. And he definitely, though he has a wonderful, beautiful, intelligent wife, looks to other people, other women, quite often, and not even in a way where it's hidden. And so we want to pray on his behalf and all those women and men who may be like that as well, because it can be very tempting to be put in the power of position of power, like we just said. And some of us, especially those who grew up in church, we have to keep it real here, but not raw, that some of us grew up as church boys and church girls, where we were kind of considered nerd in a bad way, because nerd can be a good thing, but nerd in a bad way, or not popular, or not necessarily the best jock, or not necessarily the beauty queen, or the school queen or king, not necessarily the sometimes academically well off, but not necessarily celebrated in that way. And so we were known as church boy, church girl. I grew up Catholic, but we were known as church boy, church girl, a lot of us. And so now to be called by God to do wonderful things because of God, to say things that come straight from God that bless other people, and people want to pat us on the back for it, even though we do our best to give God the glory for it. Yeah, it becomes very tempting to have the power that people give you because of God that's in you, and the power that comes directly from God. And so where those who were overlooked before, now look, I'm not condoning this, I'm just telling you how to understand it so we know how to approach it. So some of us were not looked at or even considered, and some of the guys, didn't have money either. So now their gifts from God has made room for them and allowed them to be blessed and blossomed in some ways. And so they worked on, their look, and now they can dress better, and now they're celebrated more, and people know who they are, and they got some more letters in front of or behind their name, meaning titles or degrees. And so now they got the sisters coming on the first front row. It's like that for women too, but it's still a little different because of the power thing. Some men are intimidated by women who have that same look of power, so we don't have as many preacher fans. I'm using the kind words for it. Groupies, that's the word I want to use for it. And so it's very tempting, but it does not mean that the person has to give in to the temptation. It does not mean a person has to, though it becomes celebrated like a celebrity, that we have to put on a mindset of celebrityism, but that we keep the mindset of servant, because that's what we are called to do. And thank God, I'm not saying God has called us to be poor. That is a part of the vows for being a nun. I remember that stuck with me somehow. I didn't want it to stick to me, but it did when I used to hang with the nuns and the priests when I was growing up and going to private Catholic school. And so the vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience was the nuns. The priests had the vow of chastity and obedience, but not poverty. And that's why you would see the priests living in a parsonage, like 2 or 3 floor parsonage, really nice, elegant, just totally stacked up and out with technology and all kind of whatever, groceries, wines, whatever they wanted. One of my monsignors, who was the lead priest, had a really nice car every year. He had a sponsor who provided him with a car every year. It was one of my first pastors, who was awesome and very humble. But yeah, he had really nice things. But then you go over to the convent where the nuns stayed, and it'd be 30 of them in one little convent, with very basic rooms that all look like little small dorm rooms. They're smaller than dorm rooms, with a little pilgrim bed and a little cross on the wall and a little desk in there and a little kneeling stand where they could you know, kneel the cushion and the altar where they gathered in their room. That was it. They would have on the usual habit, the black and white dress that they would wear, and the priests would have all kind of different dress that they would wear with the collar too, but it was just different. So I'm not saying that we have to universally take a vow of poverty, but we don't have to take advantage of people. When God allows our gifts of preaching and teaching to open up opportunities for us to also be blessed financially, as it should and could, it doesn't mean we have to now require great honorariums, that we only preach at mega churches, or we only preach at churches who can afford a certain amount for us to do there, that we'll only fly first class, we'll only stay in a 5+ star place, and we'll only deal with certain things, or we have to make this much money for us to even make the effort to come to this place. You know, God will continue to ask places that's first started with us that are no such thing as a small ministry or a small church, because it's ministry is not small. Few people can do great things for the Lord. So when I say small, I'm just talking about the number of the members of that particular place. So some of those places started with us when we did our first sermons and some of our first ministry work. And so when we get up to a place where God grooms us and grows us, where other people know about us and people do internationally ask us to come and preach to, we can't forget about the places that helped us in the beginning to even hone our God-given skills and think, well, I'm too busy, or I'm not going to go there because they'll only be able to give a love offering of about $100 or so, where I could make, you know, quadruple that just by showing up over here. Let's just continue to have the mindset of God and of servant. And when we do that, then we know that God, and appeal to that, God can help us to be the servant that he's called us to be, and not to forget, because God does have a good way of, when we don't humble ourselves, God knows how to humble us. Somebody say amen. So I also got a couple of questions too that we want to answer for you now. One of our listeners also asked, do you think, these are two questions about family members, so he wants your feedback as well. I am definitely open to it. Remember, you can call in with it, or you can send it to the email, or you can text it in through Messenger. 904-296-2251. 296-2251, can call it in, sitgpastor@gmail.com if you want to email it in, and just go to Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica on Facebook if you want to Messenger it in. So one question is concerning a family member that is asking for, a family member wants respect in their wish not to have conversation or interaction with another family member. So do you think you should just respect that they say they don't want to talk with you? And it also goes with the second question. If your family member is saying, you know what, I don't want to have conversation with you, not just family members, but specifically you, and this family member also says that I feel sad when I see you coming and glad when I see you going. So it definitely sounds like some dysfunction, right? Some disconnection. And it definitely has to be based on something. Because remember, Satan doesn't initiate stuff. Satan just jumps on stuff that we already have started. Public enemy number one is always us. Satan with his punkish tail just jumps on it and makes it worse. So give me some of your input before I give you some of mine, and some of your insight as to, do you think, how do you think a family member should handle that? If it was you and your family, let us know what you think as far as, should you not interact with a family member that says they don't want to interact with you? And should you also just be cool with them saying that they're sad when they see you and glad when you go? Give us a call with that, 904-296-2251. But I do want to just get to the other part of this word while you think about that too. So what is the church? The church is the body of Christ, not just the building that it's in. That's not the church at all. That's the building. That is the edifice. That is that place that the people of God, the body of Christ, goes to worship together. And so, first of all, we need to deal with the truth. When we say see the truth, that means to deal with the truth. And we say seek God. Remember, that's the only point for the night. How do I heal? See the truth and then seek God. Because God can shine an even bigger light on the truth that you see. As we just said, we got pastors with wandering eyes who definitely, some are flirtatious also, some cross the line and go over into that. We see a lot of the, even some of the ones that we're playing the music for, not even, but because they're human. So there's no reason not to play the ministry of music that they have. But we have a lot of pastors who also do music, a lot of ministers that we also minister through music, and they have admitted, you know, that they've had marriage problems because as they start to travel more and do concerts more and were tempted more and they gave into it more than they did when they were at home. And so the blessings of God have a way of doing just that, blessing us and blessing others. But also it tests just how solidly we are in God. God doesn't use it to test us. Satan does use it to tempt us, though. And so we have to know how to seek God in it. So we deal with the truth. We appeal to God, asking God to show us, how am I supposed to deal with this? As our brother called and asked, how am I supposed to deal with a family member who doesn't want to interact with me? Though we are family members, and I hate to see this, because when I do homegoings and funerals, I can tell when family members have that kind of relationship, that kind of disconnect, because there's always somebody seriously just wailing. There's always someone trying to literally crawl into the casket. You already know what I was going to say before I said it, right? There's always someone who's just inconsolable, who's very apologetic. I remember standing next to a family member who did her best to make sure she did not make it to one of our primary parents' funerals. And when she finally did, just because it was the right thing to do and she cared about how people looked at her, but not because of him, it's over. And I have been asking her over and over again, let him know he's forgiven, that he's been tortured all this time. He's better now. He's not abusive. He's not an alcoholic. Let him know he's forgiven so you can burn this script and not pass it to your children as well. She didn't give a, she didn't tell me he's forgiven until he was in the casket. Now you tell me, do you think he heard that? I don't know, but we're going to talk about it in just a moment. I got to answer this phone and pray with some others, but stay with us right here on Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. Here, we just want you to come as you are, and that's what we're going to hear from Nye Zimo and Benjamin Dubé right now.
Just come,
come as you are,
as you are,
come
as you are,
enter into
his presence,
do not be afraid,
God will give
you grace.
You've been let down before. You thought of giving up. Hold on, hold on.
Hold on, there's still a chance.
Ooh, ooh. I know someone who cares and is waiting just for you. He understands how you feel. Just come. Yourself. God has a plan about your life, and God will give you. He will
disappointed.
Yes, I know.
I've been let down before.
Tell me more.
I thought of giving up.
Hold on, there's still a chance.